Northampton Kollel, Sunday, March the 18th, 2012, Kaf Daled Adar, Tavshin, Ayin Beis. I'd like to give the shir Le'ilu Nishmas, Marcus Fielding, Rav Moshe Ben David. It is Yahrzeit today, and I think we all remember Marcus. He used to turn around, always had a kasha, he used to sit just 2 rows ahead of me, yeah? He always turned around, he had a kasha on the laning, he had a kasha on the haftori, he always had a kasha. Sweet man. I laned Megillah for him, just the Purim before he passed away, just a week or so before he passed away. He knew he was incredibly ill. He was in such good spirits. I remember he said to me, I'm going to listen to... I said to him, can I offer you do you want to follow in a sefer, the Megillah reading? He said, no, I won't be able to follow it. He said, but I'm going to listen to every word, and I'll prove to you that I'm listening to every word, because I'm going to bang on every homon. And he did. He just tapped his finger on every single homon, and I brought him a bit of Mishlach Monos, and he said to me, he thanked me, but he said, I can't take any Mishlach Monos. He said, and he pointed to his drip. And he said, you see that? That's my Mishlach Monos. He was making a few jokes, and he was putting on a very brave face. I was in Gateshead, Shabbos Vayakol Pekudei that year, because Cheskel made a bar mitzvah, and I came back on the Sunday and heard the news, and David Krasner told me the news, and I remember I was in the streets, I was just bursting into tears. So let's give the shiur Le'ilu Nishmas of Moshe Ben David, Marcus Fielding. So let's quickly go over the pasuk. It's Tehillim chapter Yud Ches pasuk Kaf Dalet. Va'ehi samim imu, I was perfect with him. Va'eshtamim avini, and I guarded myself from my sin. And we've mentioned how many mefarshim learn that this is all about keeping chukim, as well as keeping mishpatim. As well as you keep the mishpatim, because they're logical laws and you can understand them, on an equal footing you also keep the... David is saying, I kept the chukim, and that really goes back to the passage before this one, the chukosav lo asim meni, I didn't remove any of the chukim from upon me, but that in turn gave me a madriga of tumimus, of perfection. Va'ehi samim imo, I was perfect with him, va'eshtamim yavini, and I guarded myself from my sin. Now, we're just up to two beautiful thoughts given in the Sefer Chaim V'Hashalom. And I left the Sefer at home today, came to Shachar Shadal, and I meant to bring it up, Yishan Osson kindly ran home and brought it back for me, and I'm very grateful to him, because it means I can understand it. The Sefer Chaim V'Hashalom is written by Reb Yosef Chaim from Baghdad. No, different one. No, there's more than one Yosef Chaim. Norman's son Chaim is Yosef Chaim. Is he Chaim Yosef? He's Chaim Yosef. Okay.
Interestingly,
he named up someone who was Yosef Chaim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He got ill
and
made the Chaim.
Right. So, Rabbi Yosef. And he recovered. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, from Baghdad, the Ben Ish Chai, as he says, Ben Ish Chai. So his Sefer on Tehillim, this is Sefer on Tehillim. So he quotes a Gemara. We need to start with a Pasuk. Let's start with a Pasuk. The Pasuk's in Megillas Rus, and it's chapter Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin. And the story there is, it tells how when Rus visited Boaz, before they got married, Rus visited Boaz, and upon leaving, he gave her 6 barley, sheish se'orim. Now, I'm not translating it yet. 6 barleys. What exactly did he give her? The Gemara discusses it. Vayomer, so the pasuk there, chapter Gimel, pasuk Tes Vov, says, Vayomer sheish se'orim. He measured out 6 pieces of barley. Vayosher Saleh, he placed it on her. Vayomer, and then he came into the town. She went back. The next pasuk tells us she came back to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Vatomer, miat b'ni. She told her, what the man had done for her. He gave me these 6 barleys. Now, what exactly did Boaz give Ruth? 6 barleys. It's a little bit, we don't understand, what did he give her? So the Gemara discusses it, and the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, and it's right at the foot of the page. My dear Siv, what is meant by the pasuk Sheish Haserim Ha'ele Nosani? He gave me these 6 barleys. My Sheish Haserim, what are these 6 barleys? What exactly did Boaz give her? Ilemos Sheish Haserim Mamush. If it means that he gave her 6 barley corns, which is of course a tiny gift, barely a gift at all. Is it the way of Boaz, who was a very generous man, who's wealthy and generous? It doesn't make sense that he should give a Rus merely six tiny barley corns. So the Gemara asks, how could he give her six pieces of barley? Elo bat, so the Gemara says, you know what he gave her? Shesh so'in. He gave her six so'in. One so'ah is the standard measurement for measuring grain, and he gave her six of those. Says the Gemara, can't be that either. Why the chitaka shalisha little sheish so'in? Is it normal for a woman to schlep six so'in? It's much too heavy for her to carry. How on earth could she cope with that? And it says he put it on her. Elo bat remez romaz lo. He gave her a clue. He was giving her a hint. As you said, it's something representative of something greater. What was the clue? Sha'asidin shishabonim lotsis mimeno, that eventually six descendants would come from her, and each of those six, shemisparachim b'sheish sheish brachas, each of them is blessed with six brachas. So she's going to have six descendants, famous descendants, each of them blessed with six brachas. Ve'eluhein, and here are the six descendants, David, Umashiach, Doniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. Those six. And then the Gemara goes through each of those six, enumerating which six brachas each of them had. Now when it comes to David, the first one on the list, David, what are the six brachas that David had? So the Gemara now quotes the pasuk, and the pasuk's in Shmuel Aleph. Well, it's 36 brachas, each six people each having six brachas.
Is that only six
brachas.
Each one has six.
So the Gemara is saying that what did he really get? What's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara is saying he really gave her six so'in.
Yeah.
And it was too much for her to schlep. So she would have done that in a number of journeys. Or several journeys. The Gemara is several journeys. To collect that, or maybe some other means of transport. The six barley corns that he gave her were not really a gift, because it's barely a gift. What they were to represent these six descendants, each of whom is blessed with six brachas. Now, what are the six brachas that David had? David is the first of the six descendants who listed by the Gemara.
Did each of them have the same brachas?
No.
Each different brachas.
Different brachas.
Each one
has different brachas.
Correct. So now we come to what are the six brachas that David had? The six brachas that David had. Now, David is the first of the six descendants listed, and he has six brachas. What are those six brachas? The brachas are recorded in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Ches. Now, just a background on this pasuk is that Shaul was suffering from depression, and he felt he needed a court musician to bring him out of his depressions, and someone spoke up and recommended David. And here's the pasuk: Vayan echad mehana orim, and one of the young men spoke up. Vayom, and he said, Hinei ra'isi ben Yishai beis halachmi. Behold, I've seen a son of Yishai, the man from Beis Lechem. And what about this son of Yishai's? Yodea nagin. He knows how to play music. So here we're going to count through the six. Yodea nagin. He knows how to play music. Vegiber chayil, and he's a mighty warrior. With Ishmael Chama, he's a man of war. Unavun Dovar, that's number four. Unavun Dovar, and he is understanding, he understands
discernment.
Matters.
Discernment.
To say he has a sense of discernment, yes. Yeah. I think it means. I think it means Torah learning. I'll check it 1 second. Unavun Dovar means he can give advice. He's a man of Seichel, and Levon Dova, the Ishtoa, and he's very handsome. Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. So you've got six things there, all describing David. So here we see the tremendous attributes of David, and he's got six brachas here. Six fantastic brachas. Yedea Nagin, Gibber Chayil, Ish Mulchama, Levon Dova, Ishtoa, the Hashem Imo. Six things. So this is the Hashem Imo. Hashem is with him. So he's God fearing. Hashem is with him. Yeah. So he got, so David HaMelech was blessed with these six brachas. So so he was the first of the six descendants. These are the six brachas. Now, the punchline on this pasuk, or the surprising fact on this pasuk, is that he's got someone speaking wonderfully about David. Who is the person who spoke about David so beautifully and so wonderfully? It was none other than Doeg HaAdomi. Yeah, Russia, big Russia, right? He was the man who gave away Nov Irakonim, who split the beans on Nov Irakonim to Shaul, and Shaul ended up wiping them out. Why was Doeg, was such a Russia, speaking so highly of David? So the Mepharshim say, because he was trying to make Shaul jealous of David. Even in this very early stages of the relationship between Shaul and David, Doeg was trying to make Shaul jealous of David, and so he spoke beautifully. It's a pure Lashon Hara, right? It's a classic case of where you can speak well of someone and it turns out to be Lashon Hara, because your kavona is to ultimately cause harm. Ayin Hara as well, I guess, yeah, but it's a pure Lashon Hara. Doeg is the classic Lashon Hara man, yeah? So he's speaking so well about David, but it was really with evil intentions. Okay. So here we see, so there's David got six brachas, and of course that last phrase is Vashem Immo, Hashem is with him. Now look at our pasuk, where our pasuk says, Va'ehi somim Immo, I was perfect Immo with him. So it echoes our pasuk. Says the Sefer Chaim Varshalom from Rabbi Yosef Chaim from Baghdad, from the Ben Ishchai, he says, Va'ehi somim Immo, can be understood as Va'ehisomim, I was perfect Im Vov, with six. David is saying, I'm the man, I've got six brachas Im Vov. Nice? Yeah? Nice remez? Beautiful remez. Va'ehisomim Imo. Oh, good. That's how you know. So he learns his remez to that Gemara from here. Good. The next remez, beautiful remez. Next beautiful remez brought by the Sefer Chaim Vashalom is on the word Va'ehi. Yeah, he quotes a sefer. Let me get this because I can't remember where it comes from. Called Pri Eitz Chaim, and it comes from Drush Tesvov Ba'av, the Tesvov Bishvat, and it's on Daf Kuf Kafches. Yeah, okay. So he quotes the sefer, and what's the sefer say? That there are four letters of the Aleph base that have been badly affected by the Golus. And the letters are Aleph, He, Vav, and Yud. Aleph, He, Vav, and Yud. There's something very interesting about these letters. Aleph, He, Vav, and Yud, if ever they are part of a root, and those letters vanish from the root, in a word, they are not replaced by a dogish. Normally, if a letter it goes missing from a root, we normally replace it with the dogish. So take a simple example, Nun, Fe, Lamed.
Is it in the letter afterwards?
It goes into the letter afterwards. Yeah. Nun fe lamed, to fall over, to fall. That nun often drops out. So you go, well, like vayipol, he fell. So the fe of the root takes the dogish and becomes a pei. And we can actually hear the dogish there. Vayipol, he fell. Because the nun of the root has gone missing. Normally, if a letter from a root goes missing, we replace it by a dogish in the next letter. But there are four letters which don't get replaced. And some people call them, they call them weak letters. Weak letters. And they are Aleph, Hei, Vav, and Yud. And I first found this in a sefer. I have to tell you this, in Paris, Debbie and I once took a short break in Paris, and went to the shul, the Ashkenazi shul in Rue Cadet, in Paris, and there, in the vestibule of the shul, there were shelves upon shelves of old Sfarim. And I just picked one out at random. It was like, wow, it's really Aladdin's cave of Sfarim. My son Yaakov Chaim could probably live in that room. And I just picked out one sefer from the shelf, and it was a Dikduk sefer. I just opened it up at random, and this is where I learnt this fact, that four letters, Aleph, Hei, Vav, and Yud, those four letters, if an Aleph or a Hei or a Vav or a Yud disappear from a root, we do not replace that missing letter with a dogish. Change it. Let's take a word like Vayokom El Chodosh. Now the root of Vayokom is Kuf Vav Mem. The Vav has gone missing, but we do not replace it with a dogish in the next letter. No dogish in the Mem. Others will say, well, in any case, the Mem is a final Mem. It's the last letter of the word. In any case, it wouldn't take a dogish, which is true. Some final letters can. You can find a. No, that's a mapike. What you do find sometimes is a final chof with the dogish, like ezveko. Right, so it actually becomes the final cough. Yeah? So the vav has gone missing. The root is vav mem. Yeah, and the vav's gone missing. But even a word like because it's a vav that's gone missing. That's right. One of the weaker letters. Aleph hey vav and yours. Now he brings here in the sefer. He quotes here from the sefer called Pri Eitz Chaim that these four letters have been badly affected by the golus. And they go missing as a result of the golus. And he quotes examples. He says, for example, we have a pasuk at the end of Parashas Beshalach. Ki yod al keisko, where's the chumash here? Ki yod al keisko, nechoma la Hashem ba'molek midar dar. Right at the end of Parashas Beshalach. It's in Shmos chapter Yuzayin, pasuk Tezayin. Vayeme ki yod al keisko, milchoma la Hashem ba'molek. The hand is on the throne of God, swearing that there's a war against Amalek Midaradur from generation to generation. Now that word case is short for kisei, so the aleph has gone missing, and ka is a shortened version of yud kei vav kei, so a vav and a hey have both gone missing. So here we can see from this phrase, Ki Yadal Kei Skom Chaman Hashem Ba'Amalek, it's all about the Klal Yisrael and Golus and fighting their enemies. And what's gone missing? Here you have an Aleph missing, and a Hey missing, and a Vav missing. Where do we see a missing Yud? In the word Yerushalayim. Because throughout Tanakh, the word Yerushalayim is spelt Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Mem. The last yud before the final mem is not there. We pronounce it, it's actually a kri kasiv. And in every Tanakh, wherever the word Yerushalayim appears, you'll see a little chirik squeezed in, the printer squeezed it in between the patach under the lamed and the final mem. But the yud itself has gone missing. It's a kri kasiv. We pronounce it as though it's there, Yerushalayim, but if you actually see it in print, you'll see the yud is not there. Yeah? So here you have the four letters which have all gone missing as a result of golus. Aleph from the word kisei, vav and he and vav from ka, ki yod al kes ka, and the yud from Yerushalayim. Now, what brings these letters back? The letters are brought back in the zechus of the Moadim, in the zechus of the Yomim Tovim. How does that work? The aleph is brought back in the Zechus of Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of Tishri, Aleph Tishri. The Vav is brought back in the Zechus of Shavuos, which is on the 6th of Sivan, Vav Sivan. And Pesach and Sukkot are both fall on the 15th of the month. Pesach 15th of Nisan, Sukkot 15th of Tishri, which is Yud and Hey, which is 15. So it is the Yomim Tovim that somehow give these letters some kind of returning zechus. And he points out that here we have it in our pasuk, Vo'ehi somim imo. If you are with Hashem, with perfection, then that gives a continued existence to the letters Aleph, Hei, Vav, and Yud, which are the letters of the word Vo'ehi. They all are. Those four letters are all in that word Vo'ehi.
And they stand for Yomim Tovim.
And it's a remez to the Yomim Tovim, that the Yomim Tovim give us, they somehow restore what those letters are missing. It's very hard to understand, of course. It means the letters gone missing from these various Pesukim and from the word Yerushalayim, the Yud missing from Yerushalayim, and they are somehow restored to their former glory. That's probably a good way of putting it, restored to their former glory on the strength of the Yomim Tovim. Aleph gives you Rosh Hashanah, Hey and Yud give you the 15th of the month, Pesach and Sukkot, and the Vav gives you Shavuos. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay, good. Let's move on. Yeah, the Sefer Be'er Avraham, which is from the son of the Vilna Gaon, he writes, Va'eshtameh mi'avoni, in our apostle, Va'eshtameh mi'avoni, I guard myself from my sin. What are we talking about here? How does that work? So he says it's as a result of Dinim Drabonon. The Dinim Drabonon guard us. They're called Shmiras. It's a Shmira to the Dinim Daraisa, a way of protection of the Dinim Daraisa. They call them Mishmeres. Shmartem es mishmarti. Shmartem es mishmeres mishmarti. I think it's a pasuk, and I forgot to look it up. But these are mishmaros, these are ways of protection from the Torah, and va'esh tamer is an expression of protection from sin, like muktzeh, exactly. Dinim jabanan that protect our access. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. A lovely idea which I saw in a sefer called Shari Chaim. It's a sefer which I've got on the computer from HebrewBooks.org. The mechaber of the sefer is Reb Chaim ben Reb Mordechai Ephraim Fishel Sofer. In the sefer Shari Chaim, he explains on Loshon of Va'ehi Somim Imo, I was perfect with him. So he quotes the pasuk in Parshas Vayera, it's Bereishis chapter Yud-Zayin, pasuk Aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Avraham Avinu to perform the Bris Milah, and he says, Hisalech lefonai vehege somim. There's the key word, of course, somim. Walk before me, Hisalech lefonai vehege somim, and be somim, be perfect. What does it mean, be perfect? So the Ibn Ezra explains the word somim, vehege somim, to mean, Shelo tishal loma hamila. Don't ask, why do you want me to perform the Bris Milah? In other words, the Bris Milah is, to some degree, a chok. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Avraham Avinu, don't question me about the Bris Milah, don't question about the need for it, don't ask me anything about it. And he says the same idea here. We're being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, keep the chukim, keep everything in the Torah, even if it's beyond your understanding. You'll never really have a proper understanding of the Torah. That should not stand in your way of keeping the Torah. And keep the Torah in every detail that you can, even if you don't understand it. And that's the idea of Va'ehi Somim. I was Tomim, I was perfect. Like Avraham Avinu was told not to question the Bismillah, likewise I don't question anything in the Torah. I keep the Torah with a blind faith, even if I don't understand the mitzvah, I still keep it to the best of my abilities. He then likens it as well to the Tom in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Keneged Arba Avonim Dibrasera, the Torah teaches us about four types of children, and one of them is the Tom. Tom Mahu Omer Mazus. Mazus, what is this? The Tom understands nothing at all about the Seder, and he asks a very simple question which demonstrates his total ignorance about what's going on. Mazos, what is this? No, it's not a detailed question. It's not a question which stems from any degree of knowledge. It's a question based on total ignorance. Likewise, we are Tomim. When we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are meant to be Tomim. We have no understanding whatsoever of the Torah, even if we think we understand the mitzvahs, we really don't. And nevertheless, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tamimus from the standpoint of being a Tom. We are Tomim, we don't understand the Torah mitzvahs, but we're still expected to keep it. Like the Tom who asks his very simple question, Mazos. The Sefer Eitz Hadas Tov, a Sefer which is printed in the together with my Sfasemes on Tehillim, which Yaakov Chaim found lying around the yeshiva and no one wanted it, and they found it lying around. The Sefer Eitz Hadas Tov, written by Reb Chaim Vital, he says something which we really had a very similar idea brought last week by the Elkem Memnois, namely that when I reach a stage of perfection, I have to be very careful not to become complacent. When I'm perfect with Hashem, I'm on my guard. That's when I have to be on my guard from performing any aveiros. Oh. Now, a sefer which I bought a few months ago in a second-hand Sforim sale in Stamford Hill, a sefer written by Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Citron. Now, this is very strange because there's a London connection here. He was a Hungarian Rav who went to Vienna and then he went to São Paulo in Brazil, and his sefer was printed in 1967 by his sons. He himself died in 1956. So Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Citron, there's a London connection here because at the front of the sefer it's got the address of his children, and one of them is someone called Alec Citron. And his address at the front of the sefer is printed as being 13 Bancroft Avenue, N2. I know that Finchley, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been
N2.
It's Hamsterdam Suburb.
Oh, it's Hamsterdam Suburb.
It's the other side already. If you go up to Bishop's Avenue, I think it's the other side.
So his son Alex Citron obviously lived locally here.
You know,
yeah.
Robert Citron.
Sure.
Must be also
called. Maybe Mishpacha, yeah. Okay, so Rav Eliezer Citron he really just brings the idea that we've had all the way along, that we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we serve him including the mitzvahs we don't understand, the chukim, we serve them. Why? Because we don't rely on our own seichel, we can't rely on our own intellects, because we haven't got a clue of anything anyway. We're limited, our brains are automatically limited. We serve Hashem with an absolute with a tamimus, with perfection there. And he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuf Yud Tes, pasuk Aleph. And when we get to Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, we'll know it, because it's the longest. It's absolutely massive. Kuf Yud Tes, pasuk Aleph. Ashrei Samimei Dorech. Now, he understands the word Ashrei there as being praiseworthy. But it can mean praiseworthy, but it also is an expression of strength. Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Sitchin says it's a lotion of strength. And he says, if you are Tamimei Derech, if you have perfection in your way, then you are strong. Ashrei Samimei Dorech. Strong are those who are perfect in their ways, in their approach to serving Hashem. And he connects it to our pasuk, for he somim imo, I was perfect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he quotes, and I tried to research this and I got nowhere, he quotes Aristotle, that Aristotle's His philosophy in life was ascetism and not partaking of Olam Hazeh, not enjoying Olam Hazeh. And it was all based on his own intellect. He was obviously a phenomenally brainy man. And in fact, I saw in my researches on Aristotle, trying to understand a little bit about him, that he apparently was considered the man who knew everything in the world that there was to know in his time. He knew it, and he was an expert on human anatomy and on astronomy and mathematics and etc. Every field of human knowledge he had. And his approach to his philosophy was on intellect, was an intellectual approach, and therefore he said that intellectually Olam Hazeh is worthless and therefore not important, and therefore we live for higher ideals. But his philosophy was based on his own intellectual approach rather than a religious approach. Oh, if I've understood this correctly. He himself... No, I believe not. I think not. Yes. I think not. Yes. I think not. I don't really know, but I think not.
It's due in a military ascendancy. Mm. Because at the time the Greeks, this time, they were in the ascendancy. They were just beginning to come. The kings, there were many, many kings of Greek cities. They were just coming together. And the religion was nothing. And Aristotle wasn't a religious man in that sense. So he saw the way of unifying people for military ascendancy. I think this is probably it. And so he was very popular for this, because he bound people together, not for a religious purpose, but for military, for a political purpose.
Yeah, well, with all his chachma, Aristotle was caught red-handed, so to speak. He had an affair with another woman. Okay, now here's the man.
Was it a woman?
Apparently. I don't know exactly. He was somehow or another, he was caught. He was caught red-handed, whatever. He writes in his Sefer, Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Sitchin writes that here's a man who had lofty ideals, but they were based totally on human intellect, because of his intellect, and therefore he became a cropper. Because ultimately those human ideals couldn't stand up to the force of his Yetzer Hara. This is how he explains it, something along those lines. So whereas we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu not because of our intellect. If you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on your intellect, then you're not going to get very far in your Avodas Hashem. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the chukim that we don't understand. Why? Because purely and simply because they are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. Okay, so that's the approach to Rabbi Avraham Eliezer Sitchin. It's really an idea that we've learnt all along, namely we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, including the chukim that we don't understand, but we still worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those chukim, because we recognise the unimportance of our own human intellectual capabilities. Good. Right. In Shmuel Beis, this parallel pasuk, just take a look actually at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So in Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Kaf Beis, you've got the pasuk there, it's chapter Kaf Beis, and it's pasuk Kaf Dalet. Va'eheyeh somim lo, I was perfect to him, for esh tamaro mi avoni, and I guarded myself from my sin. So first of all, let's just highlight the differences. The Abravanel does explain the differences. I didn't understand any of it. But at least let's just take a look at some of those differences. In Tehillim, we've got the word vo'ehi, while in Shmuel Beis, we've got the word vo'eheyeh. The word is written in full with the last hey as well, vo'eheyeh. We've got, in Tehillim, we've got the word imo, vo'ehi somim imo, while in Shmuel Beis, it's got the word lo, somim lo. And we've got the word va'esh tamer, and in Shmuel Beis it's got va'esh tamara. So there are some differences, quite a few differences between the two psukim. And although the Abravanel explains them, it went above my head, I couldn't understand it. There, the Ralbag in Shmuel Beis explains this word mi'avoni. I guarded myself from my sin. Which sin are we talking about? So what the Ralbag is really discussing is what is the meaning of that last yud in the word mi'avoni, from my sin. So he says it's possible that that yud is simply like a poetic decoration of the word mi'avoni, a bit like I can't think of a single example. We do find examples like Oziva Zimroska. Ah, just met this yesterday from Pinchas Cooper, who mentioned it yesterday. Oziva Zimroska. That word Ozi. The yud, Rashi on that pasuk explains that the yud is a decoration of the word. It's not like a normal yud at the end, which means my. Like here we've got mi'avoni, my sin. So the Ralbag suggests that it's possible that yud on the word mi'avoni, it does not mean my sin, but it simply means it's simply an extra yud to decorate the word.
How would you say my strength?
Uzi. And I learned that from Pinchas yesterday. Uzi? Oh,
Adrian.
Sure.
Changed his name to Uzi when he made Aliyah.
His name was Azario.
Adrian.
Yeah, no, but I think his Hebrew name was Azario. Did he?
Uzi could be short for Azario.
Azario, could be, yeah. Adrian. Yeah. He was a tzaddik. Do you know, Rabbi? When the missionaries came to town, there was a big. Do you remember Adrian Kamisar? He left the shul probably before you came. Yeah, Adrian Kamisar died very young. Rabbi Cooper told me that when he came, something like that. That when he came, the missionaries were trying to make him move into the shchuna where he was living. And they were going to, missionaries, Christian missionaries, were going to start some kind of, place there for dropouts, and they were going to bring in all the dropouts and then trying to convert them. And there was a big meeting to discuss whether there should be, whether the local council should allow it or not. And he went along with, he had a great sense of fun, he had a great sense of humour, and he went along with a bottle. With some liquid inside the bottle and loads of cups, and he stood up at this meeting and he says, I've got a bottle here, would anyone like a drink? And he starts pouring out these drinks. He says, it's poison, by the way, this is poison, would anyone like to have some? And of course everyone shrinks back from it, and he said, poison, don't you have a drink of poison? Yeah, help yourself, because I'm Tate, have some of the poison. And he said, this missionary place is poison, and you let them in and they'll poison our youngsters. Okay, so back to the Ralbag. So the Ralbag explains this word mi'avoni. The Ralbag in Shmuel Beis says that maybe it's just an extra yud to decorate the word. Second shot on the word mi'avoni, which sin are we talking about? Says the Ralbag, it's not specific. Any sin. I guard myself from all sin. It can be referred to any sin, nothing in particular. And then his third shot is it refers to the sin of having taken Bathsheba and having killed off Uriah Chiti and killed and married Bathsheba. And that's it for the pasuk. So he's saying, I would never commit such a thing again. Because he did teshuvah. I did teshuvah, and I'm guarding myself from that sin of Bathsheba. It'll never happen again. I can't remember where I saw this, but I saw this in a safe, and I can't remember where I saw it. The idea of he saw him imo, I was perfect with him, says he quotes a Yerushalmi right at the end of Maseches Brachos. It's printed on Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis, where the Pasuk speaking about David, Aval David lo haya yachal lamed bo. David was not able to stand up to it. To what? To his Yetzer Hara. So what did he do? Vaharogo bilavovo. He killed it off. What exactly does it mean? I cannot possibly tell you. But David HaMelech is one of the people who killed off his Yetzer Hara. And that's why he's entitled to say here, V'ahi somim imo. I was perfect, because he reached a state of perfection by being able to kill off his Yetzer Hara. What exactly does it mean killing off his Yetzer Hara? I can't tell you. I don't know.